Good morning. I'm Andrea Bernstein here with Amy Holmes. Now, Amy, the Army is starting a new program to train soldiers to improve their mental health, because up to now, they didn't need this, right?
I was going to say, this is new.
Right. It's kind of surprising. Joining us is one of the people in charge of these programs, Karen Rivich. She's the co-director of the Penn Resiliency Project and a research associate in the Positive Psychology Center at the University of Pennsylvania. And also joining us is Ben Carey. He's a reporter for the New York Times, our partner, and he's writing about this program in today's paper. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Ben, let's start with you. I guess the most shocking thing to me about this is that the Army has never done this before. Why not?
Well, the Army is interested in training warriors, and so it's somewhat treacherous for them to start talking about the emotional side and emotional stress. I mean, they're training people, men and women, to be confident and aggressive. And it's tricky once you start talking about emotions and you know, the possibility of sort of emotional consequences from trauma. I mean, you don't want people thinking that they're fragile, that they might have a problem. You don't want to put that in their heads. And most don't. Most do very well. So for the Army, they're interested in talking about this from a position of strength, of resilience, of mental toughness, rather than the possibility of mental problems.
And yet, Karen Rivich, I mean, it's kind of surprising, I suppose, that you would need to train soldiers in mental health, and that you've been doing this with school children. Can you tell us about how you implement a program for a soldier and how it's worked out with kids?
Yeah, well, our work with children, which we've been doing for about 20 years, has shown that we can prevent depression and anxiety in adolescents and young adults. And so what we're doing with our colleagues in the Army is to take this program that has been effective in the civilian world and making sure it's relevant for soldiers, making sure the curriculum is exactly right. And the goal of it, as Ben has said, is to help set them up for dealing with all the everyday stressors that we all confront in life, plus the extra stressors that our soldiers have to confront. So we're teaching them how to challenge very negative thinking that might get in their way. We teach them how to stop themselves from catastrophizing so that they're still able to stay task-focused. And a big part of the program is about positive communication, so how they can talk to their families and their loved ones and keep those relationships strong when they're overseas with these long deployments.
Karen, this is Amy Holmes here. Just to be very specific when you talk about the curriculum, and I don't mean to be glib, but are you teaching soldiers to say, you know, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me? What
and
does
you
this
could
mean?
Be senator if you say that.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, I'm glad you asked that. These are strategies that are based on science. So this is not Pollyanna optimism. It's how to marshal concrete evidence to prove to yourself when you have a very dire negative belief, to prove to yourself that that's not wholly true and that you're able to cope with a situation at hand. So these are serious skills. It's not looking in the mirror and repeating happy phrases.
So, Ben, how does this compare to soldier training of if you're in the field and this is how you solve problems?
Well, this whole piece of it, I think, was sort of left unstated. I mean, the military, as I understand it, is, you know, focused on discipline, on tactics, on physical fitness. And the mental side of it was something that the soldier kind of learned on the fly or as they were training. There's a kind of weeding out process that happens in basic training. Soldiers who can handle it and perform well, that was thought to be the best sign of good mental health.
Sort of the take it like a man. Take it like
a
soldier.
Take it like a man.
Right.
Exactly.
As a matter
of
fact, in your article, you say that the Army didn't even want to admit that they were doing this until you contacted them. I mean, it wasn't like they tried to publicize it.
No, that's not quite correct. Someone working with them did contact me. I think they want this out there. They want this publicized. They believe it's important for the public to know, I think, that they are doing something. They're thinking about it. They now have soldiers who are going to be deployed for third and fourth times. I don't know if this has ever happened in wars of that many deployments in a row. So they're stretched. They're sort of setting up for long-term ideological struggle. And they are concerned about their soldiers, about retention, about the family members now who have to watch their sons and daughters and spouses go out repeatedly. And so I think they wanted this out there. They wanted credit for it, and they want support for it.
So, Ben, is this specific to the Army? Like, for example, I know fighter pilots are put through a lot of stress training, like including if they were to be captured by the enemy and put under torture. Is this a different program for this particular branch of the military?
Well, no, I'm not an expert in this. I think this is the first of its kind that is so comprehensive and intensive. You're referring to interrogation techniques. That's a short course that's given, I think, to across most of the services. This is a longer-term course that the idea is you start in basic training. You're getting refreshers as you go through the Army. If you have a career in the Army, you'll be getting it as you go along, as you move up the ranks.
Karen Rivich, we need to just wrap up now, but I just wanted to ask you, do you think this will be effective? I mean, there's been a lot of talk about mental health problems among soldiers. Do you think that this is going to really change things?
I absolutely do. I mean, we need to do research and we need to learn from the research, but I am very confident that it'll be effective. We've done, you know, lots and lots of research in other settings, and while some of the situations soldiers confront clearly are more intense than your everyday civilian, this program is life skills.
We need to end it there. Thank you so much, Karen Rivich, the co-director of the Penn Resiliency Project and research associate at the Positive Psychology Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Ben Carey, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.